GIFCOM leadership will hold an industry outreach day tomorrow to walk contractors through some of the details of which contracts will be terminated over the coming year. A second session on Saturday will focus on the future, what the contract needs for joint activities will be once GIFCOM's gone. What we do know is in the post-GIFCOM world, military and federal civilian jobs will mostly be protected, either transferred to a new, smaller command that will replace GIFCOM or moved into other parts of DOD. Contractors will be hit hardest. Of the 2,300 jobs DOD is eliminating as it stands down the command, about 2,000 are held by contractors. But Robert Hale, DOD's comptroller and chief financial officer, says GIFCOM's high reliance on private vendors wasn't what made it a target for closure.
There was an analysis of the remaining tasks that needed to be done and who should best do them in terms of both cost being cost effective and making sure that we don't have contractors doing any inherently governmental tasks. And that led to the reductions that you see proposed, which you're right, are heavy on contractors with regard to GIFCOM. I don't think there was any going in position of I absolutely have to cut so many contractors, but rather how can we best accomplish the mission.
But that's not likely to be much comfort to contractors in the area. GIFCOM is a heavy user of service contracting. Roughly 80% of the contractor jobs will be eliminated, according to General Ray Odierno, GIFCOM's commander. The frustration for now is not knowing which ones will be on the chopping block. Contractors and members of Congress have complained that precious few details have emerged about the command's closure since Defense Secretary Robert Gates first announced his intent to shut it down last August. Butch Bondock runs a consulting firm for federal contractors in the Hampton Roads area.
The contractors know the numbers, they know the percentages, but every single one of them wants to know which chair are you going to empty. Because like any good company, you would like to be able to say to your people, I'm going to follow up and, you know, give you what you need, give you a job after this one goes away. But you don't know that when you don't know which people you're losing. If you employ 10,000 people, you know, and you don't know whether or not you're being affected, you don't know what to promise. You don't know what to plan for. Nobody can make a plan until the general announces exactly who's losing their job. It's causing a lot of frustration and anxiety in the area.
Bondock helped to organize a job fair for contractors last week. He's hopeful that most of the soon-to-be former GIFCOM workers can find other jobs. DOD has set aside money it will give to the state of Virginia to help with transition programs. Bondock says the firms that provide services at Joint Forces Command are a mix in terms of size. They include some of the world's largest, most recognizable corporate names, as well as small specialized companies with only a handful of contracts.
Anywhere from top secret jobs for analysts, scientists, to top secret and secret jobs for engineers, technicians, even down to administrative functions. All these jobs are filled by contractors, by folks who have thought that they had a secure contract with joint forces.
Other big questions swirl around the termination of contracts, both the timing and the terms. Terry Murphy leads the government contracts practice group at the Hampton Roads law firm Kaufman and Knowles. He says he's already getting questions from clients worried that they'll be on the termination list.
We've been getting calls about what do I do with this lease now? How do I get out of this lease? And at the same time, some of our real estate clients are being presented with tenants that say, yes, I'll lease the space, but I want an out. Because if the funding for this JFCOM contract doesn't come through, I don't want to be on the hook for the lease. I'm hopeful that our contractors can adapt and find business in the remaining sections of JFCOM remain or in the other variety of DOD components that we're fortunate enough to have here in Hampton Roads.
Murphy says in the months ahead, a lot of effort's going to be expended figuring out how the contracts will come to an end. GIFCOM will have to wind down each of the contracts it's terminating and negotiate terms with each vendor.
A government contractor has to sign up to the federal acquisition provisions that allow the federal government to terminate a contract for the government's convenience. That's the termination without cause. The applicable regulations and the federal acquisition regulations provide that there'll be a termination of convenience settlement negotiated between the government and the contractor. So the contractor is made whole for what he's expended. He's not going to get paid for work that he doesn't do, but I anticipate there'll be some, as we call T for C's, termination for convenience issues coming in down the line.
But that line may get pushed further back if Virginia lawmakers in the U.S. House have their way. They successfully pushed through an amendment to the latest continuing resolution last week prohibiting any federal funds from being used to close down Joint Forces Command for the rest of this year. Republican Scott Ridgel represents part of the Hampton Roads area. He and several Virginia colleagues say DOD still hasn't demonstrated to Congress that the cost savings involved in closing GFCOM are worth the loss of some of its capabilities.
The establishment of a combatant command requires a literal act of Congress. It follows then that the closure of a combatant command should involve thoughtful analysis that is shared with this body for comment. The closure of Joint Forces Command fails on that important count. Either no such analysis has been conducted, or it is being withheld. Mr. Chairman, the absence of data that supports the closure of a combatant command is simply unacceptable.
General Odierno told reporters earlier this month that slightly more than half of GFCOM's current functions and its jobs will be saved. Many of them will go into a new, smaller command, also based in Hampton Roads and reporting to a two-star general or admiral. Besides joint training and doctrine, DOD plans to hold on to the modeling and simulation functions that GFCOM has worked on for both the Pentagon and outside agencies. Attorney Terry Murphy says those are some of the bright spots in the closure plan.
They support the jointness that not only our armed forces use, but also when the United States puts together coalitions in places like Iraq and Afghanistan, they deal with foreign countries. It's GFCOM that does the distance learning and shares with the NATO countries, that knowledge base and the means of communication. And that's an ongoing process that will continue and remain.
And Odierno said earlier this month that the downsized contractor base in Hampton Roads won't necessarily be a fact of life forever.
If we're successful in building this organization, I believe there'll be others who want to invest in this organization. So you might find, if we're successful 2 years from now, you might find that other areas of DOD are sending money here for us to work their concepts. You know, today it's kind of a supply base. We allocate a certain amount of millions of dollars and we provide a service where in the future it will be demand based, where if people think it's relevant, they'll provide money here, which then could potentially expand the future based on relevance.
But Murphy says until then, there will be a major impact to the contractor base in Hampton Roads. He says both large and small firms will take a big hit.
Some of the larger contractors are affected because they have invested considerable funds in developing facilities to support GFCOM, but there are smaller contractors that may have one, two, or three contracts that they do very well, and we in fact represent some of those, and they're going to be affected dramatically by this.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.